Hello fellow Star Trek fans, welcome back to a brand new episode of 10 Forward with me, your host Mike Overton. This week we're delving into Season 4, Episode 3 of Lower Decks. The episode is titled In the Cradle of Vexamon. Let's delve in. The USS Cerritos embarks on a mission to Corazonia, a colossal ring world governed by an enigmatic ancient computer entity called Vexamon. The native population, which comprises predominantly of artists and poets, helps deep reverence for Vexamon, considering it began custodian with no aspirations for world dominance. Captain Freeman assigns Lieutenant Boimler the formidable task of leading an away mission responsible for updating a decrepit Starfleet power relay. Simultaneously, she ventures to investigate Vexamon, which has been displaying some unusual behaviour recently. Despite Ransom's counsel to enlist engineers, Captain Freeman, armed with her minor in archaic technology from her academy days, insists that tackling the situation solo. Captain Freeman's exploration uncovers a startling revelation. Vexalon's operating system has remained untouched for over 6 million years, aligning it with the evolution of the original alien designers into fifth dimensional energy beings. In an attempt to modernize Vexalon's systems, she triggers an update which inadvertently leads into Vexalon's shutdown. The aftermath is just catastrophic, causing destructive changes to the ringworld's environments, with clouds transforming into icebergs and day-to-night cycles spiraling into chaos. Despite growing desperation, Captain Freeman remains determined to lead the repair efforts personally, even opting for a safe mode which initiates a full system reboot, resulting in the catastrophic regenesis installation that plunges the ringworld into a primordial chaos, disrupting art classes and poetry readings. Meanwhile, aboard the Starfleet power station, Lieutenant Junior Gray Boimler faces anxiety as he endeavours to manage the hazardous task solo, ignoring his capable team of ensigns. Chaos reigns both on the ringworld and at the power station, pushing both crews to their limits. Back on Corazonia, Boimler finally recognises the significance of teamwork and allows his team to assist. Despite numerous setbacks and near disasters, they manage to restore the ringworld to normality. Simultaneously, aboard the Cerritos, Mariner, Tindy and Rutherford discover the true nature of the pranks orchestrated by their superior officers. This revelation leads to the newfound respect for the colleagues faced by lower ranked officers, even without the ensign title. So the only part of this episode I didn't like were the scenes in the Isolinia chip room. We've seen Isolinia chips before. We've seen them in engineering in TNG on the Enterprise D. We've seen them in consoles throughout ships. And it's just, to me, a bit bizarre that there's a whole dedicated room with retractable ceiling with a second layer. And it was just a bit silly, you know. Oh, the room fills up with nitrogen coolant every hour, so you need to wear a breather. And, oh, they're hot, so you need to wear gloves. Oh, and then these ones are hotter, so you need to wear tongs. It was just, I don't know, it was just a bit daft, and I don't feel that it really gave too much to the episode. It did in a way, because it shows that the new lieutenants are being hazed, but I think there could have been a better way of doing it, personally. This was a really fun episode this week. We get to see the Lieutenant Junior grades now being hazed by higher ranking officers, which I think just kind of gives that kind of, they are still lower decks, if you know what I mean. They are still at the relatively bottom of the food chain. But yeah, it was quite nice to see that. And some just some really interesting sort of tidbits this week. We get to see that pets are allowed aboard the USS Cerritos with Billups' ferret called Lancelot. And there's also some really cool harkbacks to TNG and other Star Trek episodes where, you know, we get to see the Wuddy game this week, as well as, a damn Betazoid gift box. It was fun to see the, you know, after the Betazoid gift box got zapped, after coming out of the Wadi game, that he essentially goes through a midlife crisis and, you know, starts blurbering about his life, which we've never really seen before. So that was quite fun. And, you know, the kind of secondary story with Boimler, with his lieutenants, with his ensigns even, I think was a really nice sort of segment. My standout moment for me kind of harks back to an experience that I had when I was younger. And that is Boimler's experiences, was that sort of first command experiences. I don't know about anybody else, but I found when you kind of go into a role with any kind of team leadery management skills, that you do go through this phase at the very beginning that, you know, no one else can do the job and that you have to do it yourself. And, you know, you can't delegate and everything has to be done by you. And I think as time goes on, you kind of get to realize that actually that's not the case. And you as a leader are only as strong as the team that's around you. So I thought it was very fitting. And I you know, it's great to see that Boimler is essentially going through the same struggles that any other manager or leader has had previously. And for me, that's the only reason that's a standout moment to me, is it's very true. And I think it's something that any leader has to overcome. And I think he did a great job. This third episode of season 4 of Lower Decks keeps the series' strong momentum going, and it mainly focuses on character development, particularly with the lieutenant's promotions, resulting in organic humour. The episode seamlessly juggles three storylines within its 25-minute runtime, allowing for each narrative to shine without feeling too rushed. By temporarily setting aside the overarching story mystery ship that we've seen in the first two episodes, the episode emphasises the show's episodic nature and provides ample time for these engaging stories. Highlights include the return of Talin, who helps Boimler come to terms with his promotion and learn to delegate. Captain Freeman's exploration of ancient IT adds depth, and the storyline parallels Boimler's as both struggle with delegation and trust, driven by different motivations. Freeman's plot offers more sort of commentary on AI in Star Trek, whilst adding layers of humour. The Mariner Tendi Rutherford subplot, while somewhat disconnected, explores the theme of promotions and unexpected consequences. It features numerous Lower Decks references and cleverly pairs quirky Trek elements with comedic effect, which does really well. Overall, this episode maintains the series' humour, character growth, and canon connections whilst introducing new elements to the Star Trek universe, making it a delightful addition to the fourth season of Lower Decks. I can't wait to see what the rest of the season has to offer. Thanks everyone for tuning into this week's episode of 10 Forward. If you'd like to catch up with more Clone Star podcast, you can check in with Sean Ferrick every Wednesday for The War Room, our interview series. There's also our website, clonestarpod.com, which has links to our great new merch store, which helps us as small independent creators. Once again, I've been your host, Mike Overton. Let's have a great week ahead.